Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for what you do. God, we thank you that we can come before you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, God, that we can gather together as family to sing praises to your good name. God, thank you for speaking to each of us individually, God, and just for just pouring into us. God, I pray that we would be with our time today, Father, impact our lives, change us, God. And God, I also pray for these kids, Father, that you would bless them, that they would have their minds opened up to what you have, their hearts open to what you have for them. God, settle their spirits so that they can hear you. God, settle their bodies, their hands, their feet, Father, so they can listen attentively to what you have. And God, I pray right now that you would just encourage them, Father, so that they can listen. And Jesus, we pray for Stacy as she takes these kids out. God, I pray that she can just say the words that they need to hear, Father, and they can learn in their own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. We're going to let these kids get off. Thank you to Mary and the team. Once again, another great job. That song, wow. It's another beautiful Christmas carol we closed out with, and two, actually, Christmas songs. And it's interesting that they both go hand in hand. Well, we're going to continue our series on A Christmas Carol. Yeah, it's kind of funny. My in-laws are down, and I felt so tired this morning. Not because of them. They're not tiring me out, but, you know, I'm not used to staying up late like that, and we stayed up and had a good visit, so it was so good to have them, so welcome. Yeah, but we're continuing this Christmas carol, our Christmas carol. And today we're in week two, and we're going to be looking at the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. Now this song, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of history, and hopefully through these messages, you'll be informed about what they are, but also that maybe when you hear these songs, they grab you, one of these lines that I talk about, and just really change your perspective of the songs and of the Christmas season. So now this song was originally written in Latin and was given the title Adeste Fidelis. This song, it was written by John Francis Wade, who was an 18th century hymnist. And it was sung entirely in Latin. And it was translated in 1841 by a guy named Frederick Oakley, who I think, for the most part, from what I've seen, is given all the credit for this song. So now, when Frederick Oakley translated it, that's where we get, O Come All Ye Faithful. And it's a carol which has stood the test of time and has been sung throughout the ages. So I really, really hope that you're going to enjoy now as I perform for you, O Come All Ye Faithful. Just kidding. You're not going to have to put up with me singing. But like I said earlier, this music team did a fantastic job leading us in that song today, in that carol. And I pray that you worship through that song our God, our Jesus. But the first line of that song, you know, it really intrigues me sometimes. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And I think the reason is because lots of times, especially during Christmas, people feel, or at least they act, anything but faithful, joyful, and triumphant. In fact, many times I think people act defeated, depressed, and doubtful, or they feel that way. But you know what? If that's you, there's good news. You don't need to feel that way. In fact, you shouldn't feel that way. You should not be feeling defeated. You should not be feeling depressed or doubtful. Jesus calls us to him. Jesus calls us to victory. And that's exciting. And as I begin to look at this song, I begin to ask the question, I wonder who it is that Jesus is calling. Now, the good news is, for us anyway, is that one time we weren't the faithful, the joyful, and the triumphant. Now, since knowing Christ now, we can walk through life being faithful, joyful, and triumphant. But let me explain to you throughout this message where I'm going from there. So the first thing is, who does Jesus call? Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. The weary and the burdened. And we see this in chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are." You who are perfect? No. "All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. He wants us to come to him. And when we come to him, we give it to him. We put our faith, our work in him. We put our faith in him. And when he does the work, we can find rest in him. That's exciting. That's exciting, people. Now, the second thing, Jesus calls the sinners. So Jesus calls the weary and the burdened, and Jesus calls the sinners. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says, "And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and the sinners?' But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not for the righteous, but the sinners.'" See, Jesus came for the sinners. Now, I think many people would make good Pharisees. And I say that with as nice as possible. They like to point out what people do wrong. They think it's their job to judge. I want to make sure that person knows what they're doing wrong. I want to make sure that that person is knows what they're doing is wrong, how they said that was wrong. And, you know, we can even go as far as, "Oh, Pastor, I didn't like what you said." You know what? Let's not focus on that. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on what Jesus said, and that's what? Loving people. And you've heard me say that time and time again. It's not our job to judge as believers. It's our job to love. Let's leave God to have the Holy Spirit impart on people what maybe changes they need to make. It's not our problem. We just need to love them, right? Amen. So with this song, that's a total sidetrack, sorry. But with this song, however, it's almost like you could rewrite the song a little bit and have it say, "Oh, come all ye sinners, ye weary and ye burdened, come to Bethlehem, come and meet your Savior who will save you." You know what? There's good news that Jesus didn't leave you there, though. He didn't leave you as a sinner. He didn't leave you as a burden or weary. He took you somewhere. He took us all somewhere. At one time, we were all sinners. We were all weary, and we were all burdened. Now, he may call you from that state of being weary, burdened, and a sinner, but realizing that, man, you know, I've tried everything else, and it's just not working for me. And at some point in your life, you realize you need Jesus. And at some point, our friends, our family that don't know Jesus, they're going to need to come to the realization that they need Jesus. And as long as we keep loving them and showing them Jesus in our life, at some point, I guarantee you, Holy Spirit will impart upon them that they need Jesus. And they're going to start wanting to know Jesus new in a new way. And that's good news. Sorry. So, as we continue on, though, with that thought, when you call on him, the Bible says something beautiful happens. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So what does that mean? It means that I was a sinner at one time. I was weary at one time. I was burdened at one time, but now I am redeemed. I am saved by grace. It means I was weary, but now Jesus is my strength. I am restored in him to God. Jesus made me whole. That's good news. I was burdened, but now Jesus bore my burdens. I don't need to carry that anymore. And this is the point many, many programs have wrong. They stay identified with the old sin, but with Jesus, I am no longer that sin. I am new. Many programs continue to hold on to that burden, hold on to that sin, that I am that. No, you're not that. You were a sinner, but now you're saved by grace. You're something new. I was an alcoholic. Not anymore. Now I'm new in Jesus' name. I was addicted to drugs. Not anymore. You're a new person. You are new in Christ's eyes. And you do not no longer need to identify with those drugs or that addiction. But I was an adulterer. No, you weren't. You were that. But now you're saved in Jesus' name. I killed somebody at one time. I had to go to prison. Not anymore. You did that? Yes, at one time. But you're a new creation when you accept Jesus into your life. Do you get that? You're a new thing. You're a new believer. You're in the new. Your spirit is made clean. It's new. So Jesus helps us become this new creation, right? Which begs the question, if he doesn't leave us there, what does he help us become? If we become this new creation, where does he take us? And that's a great question, and that's where we really want to go today. So what does Jesus help us become? Well, the first thing is Jesus helps us become more faithful. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And then we look at Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Both of those talk about how Jesus helped make us more faithful. Now, I remember when my dad was on life support when I was younger. Boy, it's almost 20 years now. And all you can do is sit there and wait. And I remember sitting there in the family waiting room, and I remember going in because you couldn't spend all your time beside him as he is in intensive care on life support. And I felt helpless, and all I could do is wait. See, at that point, my dad and I didn't have the best relationship. And there were so many things that I think, if you would have asked him, he wanted to make right. And he said since then he wanted to make right. But I remember sitting there feeling helpless because, I mean, it's not the way you want to end your relationship with your dad, the last words, because we had a fight before that happened even. And I figured, why not do the best thing I can do? So I read the Bible and I read this scripture found in Isaiah 43:2-3. And it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And I read that, and in the process of reading that, I heard God's word, and my faith was built that I was not alone, that God was with me, that he was going to bring us through this fire, through this challenge. The fact that I know that Jesus would not leave me, I would not be alone. You know, it was amazing. And right then and there, I remember reading that and feeling built up, lifted up, held tight. So Jesus helps us be more faithful as we are in his words, and it gets inside of us and we get to know him. And God's word permeates through every being, every part of our being, sorry. So Jesus helps us be more faithful. The second thing is, Jesus helps us be more joyful. Jesus helps us be more joyful. We actually see joy talked about through Scripture many times. But there's a Scripture that says that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, the Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Boy, I think I said that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And that's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So let's talk about joy. And we actually spent a number of weeks talking about joy this year. But let's take a quick moment right now to talk about that. So what are we talking about here? Joy. That's a fruit of knowing Jesus. That's a fruit of the Spirit. So what does it mean? Well, I've heard it said an apple tree produces apple because it's an apple tree. It's not having to work harder to produce an apple. It can't just squeeze out an apple. It doesn't work that way. It can't change and produce a grape. it produces an apple because it's an apple tree. And the same way with us. Our joy comes from being in a right relationship with God. It's not something that we can produce on our own. We can't produce something else either. We can produce joy because we have right relationship with God. In fact, the new creation we talked about, the Bible says that when we receive Christ, God puts his spirit in us. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and the fruit of the spirit living on us is love and joy. But understand that joy and happiness are world apart. You can't say, oh, but Pastor Dave, I don't feel very happy right now. Guys, happiness and joy, when we talked about this a few months ago, they're worlds apart. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. My source of joy is Jesus. Happiness depends on what's going on around me. Things might not be going great today. You might not feel very happy, but you can still have joy. Happiness depends on happenings. What's going on around me right now? Do I really like what's happening? Or do I not like what's happening? And that determines my state of happiness. But my joy is Jesus. That comes from deep down inside of you. That comes from something that's not part of this world. That comes from something that is placed in you by the living God and inside of your spirit. And out of the outflow, a fruit of the spirit of love and joy comes out, because happiness depends on happenings, but my joy depends on Jesus. And we see this in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, don't we? The scripture where the angels have come and they're proclaiming to the shepherds who are out watching over their flocks by night. Luke 2, the Bible says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Why? Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born, and that's going to bring joy to the world. So Jesus brings joy. And you know, it's funny when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to just backtrack really quickly, and then we're going to go to our next point. But the fruit of the Spirit, joy, faithfulness. Wow, it's pretty cool. Now, the third thing that Jesus helps us become is Jesus helps us become more triumphant, more victorious. Jesus helps us become more triumphant. Now, to feel more triumphant, sometimes we have to have another person in our life. Someone who can help us, I guess, feel that way so we can feel triumphant. Sometimes we feel weak. Sometimes we don't feel like we are as strong as we are. And we need someone else. Because many times we feel, like we talked about earlier, defeated. I had a friend in college and I called him Pirate Pete. Pirate Pete. And he asked me, why do you call me Pirate Pete? And I told him, because you're always running around looking for your sunken chest. Yeah, I know. It was a mean joke. I was a football player, a little bit arrogant at times. It wasn't my best moment, so don't judge your pastor now. This is like 20-some years later. But we went to the movies in Saskatoon, and we were in Bible college, and, you know, as a Bible college student, you couldn't always go to the movies. You had to be very cautious. But we went to the movies, and I believe it was a James Bond movie that was playing, and I can't remember which James Bond movie because there's only been 1,000 of them. But we went to the movie, and we got there a little bit late because you got to help, and you're eating supper at Bible college, and then you're trying to get off for the 7 o'clock movie. And the theater, the Dollar Theater, the Rainbow Theater in Saskatoon was packed, like packed. And the seats sucked there already. There was barely any room. And you're trying to sneak in, and we get into the theater, though, and there's like 2 or 3 seats available together. And they happen to be in the dead center of the entire theater, which is perfect because these seats have so much room that, you know, it's awesome. It works great if you're Pirate Pete and you can sneak through anybody. But when you're built like me, I'm sneaking in, sneaking in very cautiously as, we'll use that as a cautious word, sneaking in, because how do I sneak in? But they're so tight, and my butt's in a guy's face, and my knees are hitting the people in front of me head. So I squeeze in, and I bump a guy at the very end, right in front of me with my knees as I'm trying to sit down. And we got popcorn and pop, and I'm not a big popcorn fan, but hey, it's James Bond, right? Well, Pirate Pete was able to get in no problem. Me, yeah, not so lucky. So this guy in front of me that I bumped at the end, he spins around and just starts glaring, like giving me the dirtiest look and Pete the dirtiest look. I had no idea it was even happening. I'm oblivious to this. Like, even yesterday when my in-laws were telling me a story, I kind of just glazed over and Stacy's like, right, Dave? And I'm like, what? Huh? We're talking to me? Anyways, so I had no idea what was going on. And I'm just watching the movie. I'm eating my popcorn, drinking my Pepsi. And Pirate Pete's squirming. And I had no idea what he was squirming about. And he slides over. This guy's staring at me. So I glance at him. I kind of smile and whatever. Keep watching my movie. And I don't know. Pete just was uncomfortable. And he leans over again. And it's like, Dave, Dave, this guy keeps staring at me and at you. We got to make a run for it. So, Dave, I'll go through that exit. You go through that exit. And let's meet at my car if we get separated, if this thing blows up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I looked at Pete and he was literally looking at the exits, trying to figure out how is he going to escape from this situation? Because Pirate Pete, Pete was nowhere near ready to get into this fight, which I don't even think it was going to be a fight, but he was not looking to get in a fight with this fella. And I just kind of ignored it. And I said, Pete, just relax, relax. And I kind of chuckled. And I said, sit back, enjoy the movie, eat your popcorn. And I'm not paying attention again. I had no idea what this guy was even doing. So Pete tries to do that, and he sits back, and then he glances, and this guy's still staring. Like, who stares this long? It was really uncomfortable. And apparently this guy's giving me the stink eye, and Pete's about to make a break for it. And Pete slides over, and he's like, he's still staring. Let's go. So me, being a young Bible school student, I do what I do best. I get about this far, like an inch from this guy's face. And I said, hey, you got a problem, buddy? And the whole thing, I was like, whoa, because it must have been a little loud. I guess my voice carries. And that guy possibly made a mess in his chair because he had no idea what he had bitten off. All of a sudden, Pete is like, yeah, buddy, you got a problem? You want some of this? You want some of this? You want the whole thing? What on earth happened? What happened to Pete? Ready to run for the exits and throwing coke on people to escape and get his plan and making plans of our getaway, to all of a sudden, you got a problem, buddy? Like, what is going on? But you know what happened? Here's what happened. He realized he had a 260-some pound, 6 foot, almost 3 football player that had his back, that was ready to support him and throw down if he needed to. That's what happened. But here's the thing. Many times we don't realize who has our back, because it is the living God who has our back. Jesus has our back, doesn't he? And we read a prophecy about Jesus hundreds of years before his birth. Isaiah 9 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his garden or government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. That's Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Guys, wow. That's triumphant right there. The entire government on his shoulder. So the scripture's prophesying, though, about a young baby who, as we look at the various manger scenes, and we talked about the manger scene last week that was really a cave, we look upon this pristine environment and, you know, we see Mary and Joseph and this precious little baby. But please understand this, that little baby, as he lays there in that manger, that there, he's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author of life, the Prince of Peace. He is the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of it. He is the one who spoke everything into existence. He is the bread of life. He is our salvation. He lifts our head. And as the song says, he is born the King of Angels, and we have come to adore him, for he is Christ the Lord. That is triumphant. He is our triumphant, victorious King. And we have to understand who it is that fights for us, don't we? And my prayer is that as you hear this truth that has been ringing throughout the ages when the lyrics of this song, oh, come all ye faithful. Why? Not because we are, but because he is. So, oh, come all ye faithful, be joyful and triumphant. Stop living defeated. Stop living downtrodden. Stop living beaten up. Stop living as a sinner. Come to Bethlehem. Come and see, born the King of Angels. Come and adore him, Christ the Lord, the King of Kings. Stop living defeated. Stop living weary and burdened. Stop living as a sinner and believing you're a sinner. You're not a sinner. You are a sinner. What? Or once a sinner, but now you're saved by grace and you're victorious. Amen? Praise God. You know, this is exciting stuff, guys. He's our King. And he came for us. He came for us. And we're victorious. We're triumphant. Aren't we? Because of him. We are faithful and joyful because of him. And that is good news. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can be joyful, triumphant, and faithful because of your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming for us. Thank you for dying for our sins to make us triumphant, to redeem us to your Father and ours, to God. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for bringing good news. Be with us this week. Walk with us. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Mary's going to play a song and then dismiss us in prayer. Have a great week, guys. I'll meet you at the door.